Today's shir is Masechet Ksubos Daf Nun. We will begin on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, three lines from the top, Amar Abilal. The Gemara continues in teaching us the halachas that were taught in Usha. Busha Eskino, there was an enactment made in Usha that Hamavazbez Ayivazbez Yosem Chaimish. Someone who gives tzedakah should not give more than a chaimish, more than 20% for tzedakah. Tanya Nami Hachi, so that we learn in a brisa, Hamavazbez Ayivazbez Yosem Chaimish, if somebody gives tzedakah, he shouldn't give more than 20%. Shemi Yitzdarif Lebrius, because he may required to come on to people. As the Mefarshim explained, there are two reasons why Chazal said that not more than 20% should be given. One is, as is obvious in the Gemara, he will become impoverished himself and will have to then rely on people. Another pshat given is that if a person gives more than 20% for its tzedakah, another opportunity comes up, he will not have any funds available. And as the Mefarshim explained, and we will discuss in Mirza Hashem, this Gemara, when it says that not more than 20% should be spent on tzedakah, doesn't only refer to tzedakah, it also refers to a dvar mitzvah. Not more than 20% should be spent on a dvar mitzvah. And therefore we can well understand the Gemara. If one will spend so much on one mitzvah, he will not have enough funding left to provide for other mitzvahs. And there was someone who wanted to spend more than 20% on tzedakah, and his colleagues did not allow him to do so. Manu, who was it? Rabbi Yeshevov. Vamila Rabbi Yeshevov. It was Rabbi Yeshevov who wanted to spend more than 20%, and his colleague did not let him. And who was the colleague did not let him? Rabbi Kiva. Omer of Nachman, the Tamer of Achav Yaakov, my Kro, where in the Pasuk do we find this concept of 20%? And as the Maram Shif explains, didn't we just say that this concept of 20% is a takon of Usha? So why are we seeking for it a source in a Pasuk? Says the Maram Shif, what the Gemara means to say is that the concept of 20% staka is a concept midaraisa. What they did in Usha was that they said that one should not exceed 20%. So now the Gemara is looking for the source of for this 20%. Says the Gemara, because Yaakov Avinu said, V'chol ashatitinli, everything that I will receive, aser esreni loch, a double ma'isa, 2 times 10, equal 20. Ask the Gemara, V'lai domi sura basra, l'sura kama, the 20%, the 10% not equal. Because, for example, if one begins with $100 and he takes off 10%, he's left with 90. And then when he takes 10% from the 90, it's $9. So it's a total of $19, not $20. Answers the Gemara, Omer of Ashi, Aasrena. The Torah says the words Aasrena. It refers, I will take Meiser from it. The Bastra could come to compare the second Meiser to the first Meiser, both being the same amount, 10 each time equal 20%. Ask the Shita Mekubetzes. If the Torah is coming to teach us that Meiser, that we should give 20%, so why does the Torah say Aser Esreno, 2 times 10? Why doesn't the Torah just say 20? So the Shita quotes the famous Rambam, who says that when a person has the opportunity to do the mitzvah tzedakah, he should not give all of his tzedakah to one cause. Rather, he should distribute it to a number of causes. And that's why the Torah says, A'aser Asrena, to teach us that we should give 2 times Meiser, rather giving Meiser Tzedakah twice, rather than giving one larger gift. And the Mil, and the Mashok, the Shita, quotes the Rav Hami'ili, who says, that's why we find that in the order of Meiser that was given, we have in the first year, the first 2 years, Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni given. In the third year, Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani. He says, why didn't the Torah tell us that the first year we give Meiser Rishon, and the second year we give Meiser Sheni, and the third year we give Meiser Ani? Why are a number of Meiseros given every year? says the Mishita, because of this very concept. The concept being that we want to give and we want to do the mitzvah in a number of times rather in one big gift. The Mefarshim discuss at great length this concept of giving Meiser. According to Al Gemara, it's actually 20%. The question is, what is the right shear? So it's interesting, the halacha, the Paiskim say, is that 10% giving Meiser is considered Mida Beinonis, it's considered the proper way, and giving 20% is considered a mitzvah min hamufcher, considered exemplary. It's interesting that in the Sefer Ahavas Chesed from the Chafetz Chaim, he says we find the contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis says that giving 20% is what is required by the din. And from Al Gemara, and that's how it's mashed from the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, it's mashed that 20% is a Mida Yofa. It's Lefnim Mishuras Adin. So the Ahavas Chesed explains it depends on the situation. If we're in a situation where the cause, the person who needs the tzedakah, is standing here, there are needy causes, then 20% is what's required. In a case where the needy, where the causes are not right here, it's just that one is separating from his assets tzedakah, there giving 20% will be considered lefnim mishuras hadin. There's machloitus between Rav Moshe and the Miches Yitzchak, if one may give more than 20%. Rav Moshe says that 20% is the maximum one should give. The Miches Yitzchak says one can give even more than 20%. This concept that we just used of the Ahavas Chesed, that distinguishes between when there's a cause here and now versus one just segregating mice of money, can be used to answer another question. Yesterday we quoted that besides for the mitzvah sasei of tzedakah, a pasoyach tiftach es yodecha, we also said that the Torah has two loisaseis for the mitzvah tzedakah, of loisametz es levavcha v'loisikbetz es yodcha. So although, as we said earlier, that when it comes to a mitzvah sasei, the cap that Al Gemara discussed, the 20% applies, that's only regarding a mitzvah sasei, not regarding a mitzvah lois asei. And we just said that by tzedakah there's a mitzvah lois asei also. But if we use the concept that we just explained, there's a difference between when the need is here versus when the need is not here. Perhaps those labim only apply when there's a cause in front of us. Otherwise, there is no lav. The Macheshes gives two other answers to this question. One answer he gives is that this din, that by a lois asei, there is no cap on how much should be spent, is only by when one is being actively required to transgress a lois asei. That means if somebody is being forced to be mechal Shabbos, so there the halacha is that one should spend all of his money to avoid doing the lois asei. Here, not giving stock is not an active transgression, it's a passive transgression. And there, the halacha, that one has to spend all his money to avoid being over a lois asei, does not apply. Another teretz that the Marcheshev gives is that these two lavin of lois ametz es levavcha v'lois sikbetz es yodcha are not independent lavin. They're only here to support the mitzvah asei of pesoyach tiftach es yodcha, to show how important the mitzvah asei of tzedakah is, and therefore they don't have the regular din that one has to spend all of his funding to avoid being over a lav. The Rav Moshe also says that although, as we've been saying, one should spend all of his money, should spend only 20% of his money for mitzvah asei, there are certain mitzvahs that say that one should spend all of his money. He explains, for example, if one has the obligation to do Pinyan HaBen, he has to give the Chomesh Sloyim for Pinyan HaBen, and that's all he has. It's certainly way more than the 20% of his assets. Certainly he's obligated to spend, even if that's all he has, to be Mekayim the mitzvah. The Mefarshim also, the Mefarshim and the Paiskim, go into great length in speaking about various situations where one has to speak, where one can give even more than 20%. One is the Bnei Yisachar quotes the Balatanya, who says V'chato'echa b'tzdaka peroik, that if Rachman Lutzlan one has Averis and he gives tzdaka as a kapara for the Averis that he has done, then there is no limit to how much money he can give for tzedaka. Another exception is for hachzokas haTorah, for supporting Torah causes. If one is giving money to support Torah, then he could spend even more than the 20% that we've been discussing. And the Mefarshim bring a wonderful raya. We know the famous story of Hillel, who Hillel would earn every day trapik echad, one trapik. And the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma, half of that traffic he would give for his family to support, and the other half he would give to the God of the Beis HaMedrash to allow him in. So obviously he was spending spending 50% of his income for Torah. So we see for Chazakas Torah, one could spend even more than 50%, and that goes also, and the Chofetz Chaim explains in Avos Chesed, because supporting Torah is not necessarily just considered tzedakah, it's considered a business partnership, a yisachar and zavulin arrangement. For that, there is no limit of 20%. Other examples where the Pais can say one can give more than 20% is if a person puts into his tzava, into his will, that he wants to give more than 20%, he's allowed to. The Rishonim discuss if a person is allowed to give all of his money away to tzedakah in his will, or is there a point to leave something over. Another example is that if a person has a very large amount of money, and even if he'll give away 20%, he will still have more than enough, then the halacha is that he can give away more than 20%. Also says the Avos Chesed, if somebody lives a very extravagant lifestyle, and by having this extravagant lifestyle, he also wants to give tzedakah in a very extravagant way, the halacha is that he may. Just to end this discussion, the Mefarshim explain. We're saying, Hamavazbis Ayizvazbis Yoysim Chaimish. So Mefarshim ask, what are the Lashon Hamavazbis? So say, Hanoitzin Tzedakah, if somebody gives Tzedakah, he should give, and should not give more than 20%. What does Hamavazbis represent? So Mefarshim explain, Havazbis is Lashon Bizoyin. If somebody doesn't recognize and appreciate the value of tzedakah, such a person, al yivazbeis yoytsim mechaimish, should not give more than 20%. And that, the Mefarshim explains, is exactly what happened in Usha. Usha, we explained, was after Klal Yisrael went into Golus, after the Churban HaBayis. As long as the Beis HaMikdash stood, people appreciated the value of tzedakah. And because they appreciated the value of tzedakah, they could give more than 20%. It's only now that Hamavazbis, that people treat tzedakah bezoyin, therefore Chazal put a cap of 20%. Amar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, v'shmuas halolois mesma'atois v'holchos. In the last two shiurim, we have learned three halachas from Usha. One was the first halacha about supporting one's obligation to support his family. The next was Hakoisev Kol Nechosov Levonov. If somebody gave away all of his money, that those assets still can be used to support him, his wife. And the third was the Gemara we just learned, Hamavazbis Ayivazis Yoytsim Mechaimish. Says the Gemara, these Shmuas Amismatois Vaholchis. The first time it was said by Rabbi Law in the name of Resh Lakish and the name of Yoytsim Mechanina. The second halacha was just said, Rabbi Loi Amr Resh Lakish. And this last halacha was just said by Rabbi Loi himself. The less manda omrim involved as we go on in these takonas. V'simonach, if you want to remember the proper order, Ketanim was the first takana, Kusvu was the second one, and Bizbazu, what we just learned, is the third one. Omrav Yitzchak, says Rav Yitzchak Be'usha Skina, she Adam Eskalgel in Benoi, a person should learn with his son Achtem Esrishana until he's 12 years old. Mikan Ve'eloch, after he's 12, Yard Imav L'chayev. So most Mepharshim explain Yard Imav L'chayev means that he should make him miserable. If he doesn't want to learn, he should do whatever is required to make him learn. Although the Mashah says a pshat, Yoyri Mavl Chayev, that if he's learning with the child for so long and he sees no success in his learning, so at that point, Yoyri Mavl Chayev, let the child go out to work. Since he's not being successful in learning, he might as well go to work. Eini, ask the Gemara, is this true? Vamalei Ravler of Shmuel Bashelis, Bot Simri Bashis, like the Kabbal. A boy that's less than 6 years old, don't take as a student. Bashis, however, once he's 6 years old, Kabil, do take him in to learn. V'stafilei keturah, and stuff him with Torah, like one fattens up an ox. So we see that the age is six. It says, well, in, stafilei keturah, the age of six, from me, is from the age of six. Miu, eini yoyrim av l'chayov, but to start being really tough, is only Ad Lachash Shtei Mesushana, is only when he's 12 years old. And as the Mashah explains, there are, based on what Tosfos points out, because Tosfos asks, we all know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Ben Chomesh L'Mikra, Ben Eser L'Mishnah, 5 years old, and here we're saying that it starts at 6. Says the Mashah, commanding Tosfos in the Gemara, at 5 we start learning with the boy, very gently. At 6, it's Safilei Keturah. We should fatten him up like an axe. We should start being a little tougher. And at 12, if he hasn't shown cooperation, then we really have to get very strict with him. Others, the Ramah says that this age of 5 and 6, we already at 3 years old begin learning with the child the basic alabes. And the Gra says that a child, as soon as he's able to speak, we should learn with him Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe, Merosha, Kehilas, Yaakov. The Mepharshim also explained what is this concept of teaching one Torah like fattening up an ox. So the Mepharshim explained the difference between the way a calf is fed versus the way an ox is fed. As a calf, being a young, weak animal, requires constant help in eating, whereas an ox is able to eat on his own. One is supposed to teach Talmidim Torah to come to the Madrega where they could be on independent and could learn Torah on their own, and that required steady teaching. Bibai Sem Lekasha, Hala Mikra, the first Gemara regarding Chumash is 6, Hala Mishnah regarding Mishnah it's 12. Dom Rabaya, Omrali Aim, my mother taught me, Bashis, my mother we know doesn't really mean his mother, it was the woman who raised him, Bashis Lemikra, at 6 years old, should start learning Chumash, Ba'esa Lemishra, 10 years old, he starts learning Mishnayis, and as we said earlier, and then at 12, we have to get a little tougher with him, Ba'tleis Latanesa Meis Leis, Ubitanoikis Ba'tresa. At 13, one has to fast the whole day by a boy and by a girl at 12. And there are two approaches in Rishonim how to understand this halacha regarding fasting. Rashi explains that a girl who's 11 years old has already an obligation to fast midrabbanan. According to Rashi, a girl at 11 already has a concept of chinuch derabbanan. And according to the Mashah, Rashi's Girsa does not have what the halacha will be by a boy. That's not in the Gemara. And could even well be that a girl who's physically stronger and doesn't learn Torah has this concept of chinuch at 11 to start fasting, midrabbanan, and at 12 midaraisa. And a boy at 13 has to start fasting. Others say that Rashi will hold that just like a girl at 11 has chinuch derabbanan to fast, and a boy at 12 will have chinuch derabbanan to fast. But there's another pshat, which is basically the pshat of Tosfos, that Abaye is talking both to boys and girls. And what the Gemara is saying is that there is an obligation for a girl to fast when she's bas mitzvah 12, and for a boy to fast when he's bar mitzvah 13, but they don't have to fast the full day before. Fasting is difficult, and chinuch requirements do not require that a child fast that entire time. Amr Abaya, Amr Li Aim. My mother also taught me, Hai bar shis, a 6-year-old, the Tarkalei Akva, who was bitten by a scorpion, B'yoyim of the Mishlam 6th, on his 6th birthday, Lechai, cannot survive. Mayas, who say, what is his remedy? Marta the daya chivda b'shikra, the bile of a white vulture should be mixed with beer. Nashvie should rub some of the bile on the child, the nashke, and give him to drink some of it, and that's his refuah. And here we have a fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and how to understand the Gemara. Tosfos explains that what the Gemara means in taking this medicine is prior to him being bitten. Because the Gemara says Tosfos, that if he's bitten, Rachman Tzlan, he can't survive. So what the Gemara here means, says Tosfos, is that if one has this, that if one wants to be prevented, he should take this medicine. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says that the Gemara means, take the medicine if Chas V'Shalom the child is bitten. And as the Har Tzvi explains, why does Rashi disagree with Tosfos? Because according to Tosfos, the child wasn't yet bitten. So how could he take this medicine, which is made up of non-kosher ingredients? The bile of a white vulture. It's treif. So if the child was already bitten, like Rashi suggests, so it's sakaris nefashis. So anything can be taken for refuah. But if the child wasn't yet bitten, how could Tosfos allow such a medicine to be administered? Says the Hatzvi, that Tosfos is going to have to explain that since this medicine is mixed with beer, so it's a nice and tam l'pgam, so it's not osam medaraisa, or he's just drinking a very small amount, so it's also less than the shear, so it's only osam medrabonon, combined with the fact that it's a child, and that's why Chazal were more lenient. Similarly, says the Gemara, Hai bar shata the Torah glazibura, a 1-year-old who was bitten by a bee, b'yoyim of the Mishlam shata on his first birthday, lechai, cannot survive. Maya susay, what is his remedy? Atzvos of the dikl b'maya, the fiber that goes around the date tree should be mixed with water, neshafyei v'nishkei, that should be rubbed on the infant and give him some to drink. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Katina, Kol ha-machnis es benoi pachas ben sheish. If somebody takes the son to yeshiva to learn when he's less than 6 years old, rots akravena megiyoi. He can run after to keep him healthy, but he'll never be able to keep him healthy. Ikad amri, chaver rots akrav, his colleagues, his other students run after him, they megiyoi, so they can never reach him because he got a head start over them. So how do we view these two statements? The Tavayisnu, says the Gemara, both are correct. Cholish, he will remain weak, because he started yeshiva early, and it made him weak. However, the Gomer, he'll be well-versed. Ibai say, Mahad Kachish, a weak child, one should not start in yeshiva too early. Hadabari, if he's healthy, and he can withstand going to yeshiva at an early age, he should go, because it will help him have this head start over all the other students. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Usha skinu de another takanin Usha. Heisha shemachre b'nisay belug b'chayu bala. We know that into the ksuba is brought nichsay melug. Nichsay melug are properties that belong to the wife. However, the halacha is that the husband continues eating those the profit, the payers of those nechasim. And then the halacha is that if the husband dies before the wife, then the chasim are the wife's. If the wife dies before the husband, then the halacha is that the chasim become the husband's. What happened in our Gemara is that the wife sold these nechasim while the husband was alone. So before we go further, there's an obvious question. If we just said that the payros of these nechasim belong to the husband, how could she have sold those payros? So the Rishonim explain that referring to a situation where the husband says that he isn't interested in those payrus. Or the Rishonim say that the halacha is that if a husband gives a wife the nechasim, there the halacha is he's not entitled to the payrus. So the wife went and sold these nechasim while the husband was alive. For Mason, she died before the husband. The halacha is haba mitz miyad lekuchas. The husband goes to lekuchas and said, my wife had no right to sell these payrus to you, and therefore this property to you, and therefore you have to return it to me. There's a fundamental machlokes of the Rambam and the Rosh while she's alive, because we don't know who's going to die first, the husband or the wife, who is the owner of this property. The Rambam holds that the buyer, as long as we don't know the final disposition of this property, is the owner of the property. And the Rosh holds that since it's very possible that this sale will become void, then the Rosh says the owner of the property already, as long as the wife and husband are still alive, is the husband. The nafkamina between these two approaches, one nafkamina is regarding a prosbul. We know that halach is that a prosbul could only be written by one who owns property. And the question is, who is the owner of the, if the buyer is the owner of the property, that because of it, he could write a prosbul. Another nafkamina is, if the husband wants to build something on this property, can the buyer prevent him or not? Also, the Mefarshim say, we know that in Halacha, there's a concept of Kinyan Chatzer. Who is the owner of the Chatzer that can affect the Kinyan Chatzer? Or we have sometimes Kinyan Agav Karka. Again, who is the owner that could affect the Kinyan Agav Karka? Tosfos asks that there's a Mandaoma through Shas that says, Kinyan Peiros ke Kinyan Agav. So if the husband has Kinyan Peiros, certainly he should be considered the owner. So Taisa says Al Gemara is going according to the man the Omer that Kinyan Peiros is Lavka Kinyan Aguf. Just because one has Kinyan Peiros doesn't mean he has Kinyan Aguf. Another Teretz Taisa says, as we said earlier, since the husband gave up his rights to the Peiros, here certainly we won't say Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Aguf. Also, the Rishonim differentiate between the Kinyan Peiros, where if I bought the produce of a field where somebody actually went and bought it, there we say Kinyan Peiros ke Kinyan Aguf, versus here we were just given to him because that's what happens by a marriage. There is now a Machlokes Rishonim that we established that if the wife dies before the husband takes these properties. So now the shaila is, does the husband have to return the money to the buyer, the money he spent on buying the properties? And there are three opinions cited in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that he certainly does, and those Rishonim certainly say that if the buyer wants the deal to be called off while the wife is alive, certainly he could go to the wife and demand that she return the money given to her. Others say that the buyer does not have a claim to ask back for his money, because entering into such a transaction, he should have been well aware that he had no right, the wife had no right to sell this property, and therefore he has put his money into jeopardy, he lost his money. And yet a third shita, which actually is what the Ramah says, we look if the wife left over any money. If the wife left over money, which she shouldn't have received, because she should have not have sold this property, then the halacha is that the buyer could take that, could claim that money. But if, on the other hand, the wife did not leave any money, the husband should not be responsible for this illegal business transaction that his wife entered into, and then the halacha will be that he cannot claim the money from the wife. There is, in this shita, big discussion. Let's say the wife did leave over cash, but how do we know that that's the money that she left over, because that she realized from selling this property? Maybe these are other cash assets that she has. Says the Gemara, Ashkechei Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Rabavua. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef met Rabavua, Davakoi b'chlusa da Usha. He was sitting in the gathering place of Usha. Omle man moro the shmatz of the Usha. Who is the one that said this halacha? Omle Rav Yosef b'chanino. Tonimine Abba Zimnan. So Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Yosef learnt it 40 times. V'domle command the monach lebekisli. Until it was like it was placed in his pocket. Rashi says, he learnt it 40 times and because he wanted to remember that this was said by Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina. So as the Meram Shif explains, knowing who said it is not that significant. What Rashi and the Gemara mean to say, says the Meram Shif, is after he heard that this was said by somebody so special like Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, he realized that this was the halacha, and therefore he reviewed it 40 times to remember it. Why does the Gemara use like it was in his pocket? So the Mefarsh explained because the Gemara says in Masecht Bab Metzia, Adam Osui Lamashmesh Bekisoi Bekal Shah, a person constantly checks what's in his pocket, and therefore here he kept on reviewing it just like you keep on checking what's in your pocket. But I saw another Pshat. Pshat is that when something is kept in your home in a safe place, or it's kept in the bank, then you're not really worried that it's going to get lost. But something in your pocket, you're afraid that it's going to fall out. Says the Gemara, even though he reviewed this halacha 40 times, so one would think he'll certainly remember it forever. Says the Gemara, Commander Manach Lebekisei, it's only like going to his pocket, and there's a concern that it's going to fall out of his pocket. There's a concern he's going to forget it, even though he reviewed it so many times. We have to keep on reviewing our learning. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ashrei Shaimrei Mishpat Oise Tzedokah B'chaleis. The Pasuk praises those who do Tzedokah all of the time. Ask the Gemara, V'chi Efshe Lasos Tzedokah B'chaleis. Is it possible to constantly be doing Tzedokah? Says the Gemara, Dorosh Rabbi Senesh Shabbat Yavna, Vamle Rabbi Lezer, Zazon Bonav Benoisok Kshen Ketanim. Somebody supports his family. He's constantly supporting his family. That's considered Oysa Tzedakah B'choleis. That's Pasha Pshat. In the Gemara, somebody's constantly supporting his family. Support takes up all the time, and that's why it's considered a constant mitzvah. Mefarshim explained, so why did the Pasuk use the word Mishpat if we're talking about Tzedakah? So Farsh explained that even if one is doing Tzedakah, he should be careful Mishpat. He should use only money that was earned honestly to do Tzedakah. Another pshat is that just like one has to be careful to do Tzedakah, also one should be careful to do Mishpat. But then I saw another pshat in a totally different direction. If one approaches someone for a Tzedakah cause, so many times the person who's approached says, I would love to help, but I have so many expenses. I have a family to support, which is so expensive. Says the Gemara, who is a person that oisa tzedakah, that's considered somebody dot tzedakah? Zazon bonov ubenoisov kishen ketanim. He has a big family. He has great expenses in supporting. But still, oisa tzedakah. He's still careful to do tzedakah and not use this excuse. That's a real oisa tzedakah. That's really considered a person who does tzedakah. And the Farshim explained, it says in the Torah, V'yavoy b'chol eis el ha-kodesh. If somebody uses this excuse, a b'chol eis, that he's always doing tzedakah. But what is the tzedakah that he's doing? He's just supporting his family. He doesn't do anything else besides that. That person will never reach the highest madrega of kodesh. The madrega of kodesh is reached that the person not only supports his family but helps others also. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni explains the pasuk Zemagadol Yosef Yosoima b'seich beisoy. Somebody raises orphans in his home or Messian and marries them off. As the Mashal explains, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni is not satisfied with Rav Elazar's approach, because as we explained in the previous year, we learned that when the children are below 6 years old, one is obligated to support them. But a Yosef V'Yosoima, there's no obligation at any age. That's why he preferred a Yosef V'Yosoima, who there's a constant mitzvah and one supports them. The Ksav Sofer makes an interesting point. When Rabbi Elazar spoke about one's family, he said Hazon. When Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani speaks about the Yosem Yisoyma, he says Hamagadol. Why did the Gemara change the terminology? Says the Ksav Sofer. As we explained in the previous year, even if we'll say that supporting a child above six is a mitzvah, teaching him Torah is an obligation. As the Pasuk says, Vishinantam Livonecho. So when one supports his family, it only can be considered tzedakah when hazon, when he supports them. But teaching him Torah is an obligation. But with a yosim v'yosayma, not only the financial support is a mitzvah, but also teaching them Torah, who I'm not obligated to teach them, is a mitzvah. And that's why the Gemara says I'm a gadol. Both the financial and Torah support are considered a mitzvah. The pasuk continues. It says, "Hoin for oishir bebeisoy v'tzidkosoy amedes lad." Rav Huna v'chizda, Zacharam ezal loymet Torah melamda. One that learns Torah and teaches it. And as the Mashal explains, there are two points being made here. Just like the Torah tells us that if one gives tzedakah, says the Torah, "B'chanuni b'zois, imloy eftachem arubas hashemayim, test me how I will repay you back for the mitzvah of tzedakah." Says Mashah, the same thing, if somebody takes from that, in other words, nobody loses from giving tzedakah. Says the Mashah, the same is when somebody teaches Torah. When somebody takes from his time to teach Torah, that's time that he could have been learning. And he takes away from his precious time to teach others, says the Torah is just like giving tzedakah. You won't lose anything from teaching Torah. And then the Mashah makes another point. He says, certainly if one gives tzedakah, he can't be expected to be paid for giving tzedakah. It's contradictory. So too, if one teaches Torah and he doesn't get paid for the Torah that he teaches, that's Torah the same as HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us Torah. Mani bechinom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't charge us for teaching us Torah. Af atem bechinom. Zeham loimet Torah melamdoi. If somebody teaches Torah without requesting remuneration, hain va'oysher v'beisoy v'tzidkosoy emedes lo'ad. The Chara Mezah Kaisas Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Somebody writes Sforim, Mashil Ma'acherim, and the Marshal says this is the basis for the great mitzvah of printing, not just of writing Sefer Torah, but writing all types of Sforim. Hoin Voish Rebeis of Tzitkasei Med Slat. The Pasuk says, Urei Bonal V'necha Shalom Yisrael. Amr V'shmul V'necha. Shmul V'levi. Kim V'shabonal V'necha. If one has grandchildren, Shalom Yisrael, we know there will be peace. There won't be a need for Chalitza V'yibam and his family, which can sometimes be contentious. If your children have children, Shalom Adayana Yisrael, there will be peace, there won't be a need for Dintara, Tlasul and Suya. As the Mefarshim explained, typically, if a father has a number of children, and one child has children, some children have children, and other children don't. So when he writes his will, he's likely to leave more for the children who have children because they have greater expenses. But those children who got less are going to be upset, and that will be a cause for Din Torah. Says the Gemara, that all of your children will have children. If all of your children have children, the Hilchos Yerusha will be followed as required, and there won't be any need for Din Torah. So we learned in the Mishnah, said Medrash Darsh Rebbe Elazar Lefnei Chachamim. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah taught in front of the Chachamim that Ksubas ben Indichrin, that if a father-in-law gave assets, gave a nadin in the Ksuba, the male sons who were born to that wife, when the husband ultimately dies, get that share. It's not divided with the rest of the Yerusha. And then we learned that part of the Tanai Ksuba is that the daughters will be sustained from the estate of the husband. Yosef Rav Yosef Kamei to Rav Hamnuna. Rav Yosef was succeeded before Rav Hamnuna. Yosef Rav Hamnuna v'kamar. Tosfos points out that here it seems that Rav Yosef was subordinate to Rav Hamnuna, whereas the Gemara Masechet Kedushin says that Rav Hamnuna was a Talmud of Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda and Rav Yosef were at the same time. So who was greater? So Tosfos says there must have been two Maroim whose name were Rav Hamnuna. One was superior to Yosef, and one was subordinate to him. Just like sons only accept, get their inheritance from real estate, so too the daughters only receive their support that we just discussed from real estate. So everybody started shouting, the Shavuk Ara Hudiyarsle B'nei, only if one leaves over real estate to his sons inherit him. The Loy Shavuk Ara Loyarsle B'nei, but if he doesn't leave over real estate, his sons don't inherit him. Amalei Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef said, Dilmak Subis Pnin Dichrin Kabamar. Perhaps what he was referring to is when we just spoke about the Ksubis Pnin Dichrin, that even though there is the Ksubis Pnin Dichrin, but that is only given from real estate. Amalei, so he said to Rabbi Yosef, Ma de Gavu Rabbahu, you're the Maikamina. You're a great man, and you understood what I meant, that I didn't mean that the sons only inherit real property. They certainly inherit Metatlin, B'ksubis Nenedekrin is only from real estate, and so too is the support of the daughters only given from real estate. Am Rav Chiba Yosef, Rav Zom Mechita D'Aliyah. Rav supported orphan girls from wheat of the Aliyah. So ask the Gemara, Ibailu, Panosa Hava, was the Panosa, the dowries, which we're going to learn, that if a father dies and single girls are left, those girls, we estimate from the estate of the father what he would have given as a dowry, and that is taken out, and we're saying that that dowry is also given from a tatlin, or my Aliyah, Meliusa the Av, according to what estimation, what the father would have given as a dowry, could Shmuel, Dom Shmuel, Lefanosa, Sham Ba'av, for a dowry, we give, we decide what would the father have given. And it's interesting, machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that even though we estimate what the father was given, it's never above 10%. Or maybe it refers to supporting the girls. Or my Aliyah. But dvarim time mishenem ba'aliyah. It's regarding the good things that were said in the upper chamber. Dom Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, ba'aliyah skinu. It was in the upper chamber of Chazal, it was decided. Shebonus nizonus min ha'tatlan. The girls are supported even from a tatlan. Toshma. In the hands of Rabbi Noi, Achvad Rav Chibar Abba, have Matatlan the Yasmei, word Matatlan of Yisoyim, also the Kami the Shmuel, they came to Shmuel, Omalei, Zil Zoyin, go support them. My laugh, Lemezoyne, doesn't it mean support? Ukrav Yitzchak by Yosef Sfirlei, and obviously, he's agreeing with Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, who holds that we support the girls from Matatlan. Ask Tosfos, what is more obvious in the wording of Shmuel of Zil Zoyin than in the wording of Chiya Ben Yosef of Zon? That there we don't know what he meant by Zon, and here we know Zon probably means support. Says Tosfos, interesting, that since Reb Shmuel was talking about a halacha lemaisa, somebody came to ask him a shaila, and responded with the word Zil Zoyin. When somebody responds to a shaila Halach lemaisa, he's very careful to be clear in what he said. Zil zoin seems to mean support, so that's what it probably means. Says the Gemara, loy, he didn't mean support. Hasl panosa havei, he meant for the dowry. Mishmul tamei, da mishmul lefanosa sham ba'av. We assess what the father would have given for a dowry. Have of the benador, there was an incident on ador. V'don dined ador, and the judges of nadoi said that orphan girls should be supported from Metatlin. But Badisa, it similarly happened in Pabadisa, Vag Rav Chanan Babizna, Rav Chanan Babizna took from Metatlin for the orphan girls. Omer Rav Nachman, Zula Hadru, go reverse your decision. Viloi Magbinan Luchu Aftaichem Einaichu, I'll take your mansion from you. So as Tosfos explains, number one, he could have reversed their decision without getting the Dayonim involved. He said it only because he wanted to show how important it was that they should reverse their decision, and that they should do it, not he should just reverse someone else's decision. And the Mefarshim go on to explain, the Gemara discusses Hatoya B'dvar Mishnah, If somebody makes a mistake, which is against an explicit Mishnah, the ruling is reversed, and he said that that was the case over here, where they made this mistake. He felt it was such an explicit mistake, it's considered Tabit Var Mishnah. Where Halacha is, if the money cannot be recovered from the person who received it improperly, then the judges would have to pay it, and that's what he was telling them. Reverse your decision quickly and have the people give back the metoplin, have these yisomos give back the metoplin, because if not, you'll have to give them metoplin, that the money that was taken improperly from your own assets.